Nobody expected them to win. They were basically a team of college kids. Average age was just 21. Now, their opponents had won the last four Olympic gold medals. They hadn't lost a game at the Olympics in 12 years. And their record against the United States over the previous 20 years was 28 wins against 7 losses. And in case you're forgetting the era, Soviet teams were made up from the very best players from Russia and the Ukraine and Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan and Moldova and Estonia and Lithuania. 15 different countries in all. The Soviets were the very best. They were full-time professionals. The United States didn't have a chance. But that U.S. team, coached by Minnesotan Herb Brooks, played their hearts out. They beat the Soviets 4-3, following a goal late in the game scored by team captain Mike Iruzioni. Then they went on to play Finland, and they beat Finland, and they won Olympic gold. What helped make that victory over the Soviets in 1980 so memorable, as it took its place in sports legend, was one of the most famous lines ever uttered in the history of sports commentary. With just seconds to go and victory now in the grasp of the U.S. team, Al Michaels famously said, "Do you believe in miracles?" Now, what happened at Lake Placid in 1980 wasn't a miracle. It was totally unexpected, absolutely. It was an upset, no doubt, but not a miracle. You know, when the New England Patriots came back from being down 28-3 to win the Super Bowl, or when that little high school team from Indiana won the state basketball championship, or when Leicester City won the English Premier League. Now, those were surprises, absolutely, but they weren't miracles. So what's a miracle, apart from me being able to stay up on these skates? I've come to Boston to talk to Mike Iruzioni, who was the captain of the U.S. Olympic hockey team that won that gold medal in 1980. In fact, he scored the iconic winning goal. I wanted to find out about miracles, the miracle on ice, from the perspective of a man who lived it. So tell me what was on your mind, on the mind of the players, as you're building up to this game. We look at it now through the lens of history, but how were you looking at it then at the time?
An opportunity to win a game and play for a medal, play for the gold medal. And I think that was kind of the mindset. You know, you can't go in too high, you can't go in too low. You got to be focused and prepared and understand what's at stake. And I think we went in with all the emotions you have for a big game. You know, excited, you're nervous, you're curious. But I think, you know, again, our mindset was let's one shift at a time, one period at a time. And when the game's over, let's see what the end result is. And you know, it ended up us winning. Now we got another game to play.
Did you come into the game with any of that political baggage or the historical baggage?
Yeah, no. To us, it was a hockey game. You know, we knew a little bit of what was going on around us because it was in Lake Placid, and we knew a little bit of the political climate because of the people in Lake Placid waving the flags and, you know, USA, USA chants. So the game meant a lot more to a lot of people than just a hockey game. But for us as a hockey team, it was a hockey game. You know, by us winning didn't solve all the world's problems or the crises, but what we did, I think, was we brought joy and pride back to a nation that was looking for something. You know, as a country, we were looking for something to feel good about. I mean, almost what we're dealing with now, and it happened to be us.
So the game is known as the Miracle on Ice. Was it a miracle?
No, I've never, you know, I mean, miracle's a catchy phrase, and it sounds really nice. Miracles are, to me, you know, some of the things that our doctors and nurses do day in and day out, the lives that they save. And you read about, you know, a building that collapses, and all of a sudden, 3 days later, they find somebody that's alive. I mean, those are miracles. Those are the things that I look at. I don't consider sporting events miracles.
Was there ever a moment looking back where, like, man, I might not have been involved in that, if but for this?
Yeah, I mean, I got invited to the tryout. What if I didn't make the team? What if he cut me, which he threatened to do? I mean,
he did?
Oh, yeah, he threatened right before the Olympics. And I think he was just sending a message to the team. You know, if he's willing to cut Mike, he's willing to cut anybody. Because no guaranteed spots until you got to Lake Placid. So, yeah, I always think about that. you know, I'll sit here sometimes in my living room, or I sit out in the backyard, look around and see what I have now, and I think, boy, we could have lost.
Yeah.
We didn't, and I'm fortunate and, you know, blessed to do the things I've been able to do, but I also understand that, you know, that there's more to life than, like my dad always said, than athletics.
What do you tell kids who are looking to get ahead in life, not in hockey, or hockey's part of life, whether it's hockey, school, business, but in life?
I think it's just being a good kid. Like I told my own kids, what I did in my life is what I did. What you do is what you do. I don't care if you make touchdowns and get winning goals. I want you to be a good kid. Be a good brother. Be a good sister. Be a good neighbor. Be a good friend. When the smoke clears, I don't want people to remember me as a guy who won a gold medal. I want them to remember me as the type of person I was. Be a good kid. Make the right choices in life.
Mike, we could talk all day. This has been fantastic. I really appreciate you taking
your
time.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Appreciate
God bless you, and thanks for your company.
Thank you. The dictionary defines a miracle as an event that can't be explained by natural or scientific laws and is therefore attributable to a divine agency. And when you come to the Bible, you find it's full of miracles. In fact, if you were to open the Bible to its very first page, you'd be immediately confronted by one of the most remarkable lines in the history of literature. It says, "In the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth." Now, how in the world did he do that? God just made the earth? Really? Well, the Bible tells us how he did it. Back then in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He spoke it into existence. Back in the Psalms, it says, "He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." God spoke and created the world. Now, isn't that an incredible thing to ask a person to believe? But the alternative to believing that is no less incredible. In fact, it's more incredible. The prevailing alternate view to creation is evolution, and evolutionary theory posits that long ago, like really, really long ago, there was absolutely nothing in existence, nothing at all. But then something in the nothing exploded, and out of that explosion, the universe was formed. Two views. One, something out of nothing, because an all-powerful creator God created something out of nothing due to the creative power that he possesses. Now that would be miraculous. Two, something out of nothing because of nothing, which would also have to be called miraculous. So how then do you reconcile this idea of someone creating the world? Well, honestly, it's not that difficult. If you choose to believe that the God of heaven is capable of performing supernatural acts, you can believe that God did things for which there's no rational explanation outside of his creative power. You can believe that God created in 6 days before resting on the seventh. You can believe that Jesus fed a crowd of thousands one day with a little boy's lunch of just 5 loaves and 2 fish. You can believe these things, not simply because the Bible says so, but because when taken as a whole, really, there's no possibility of believing anything else. Now, it's entirely possible for two different people to genuinely read the same passage of the Bible and come to different conclusions. That happens. That's okay. That's part of the process of learning. But what doesn't seem reasonable is for someone to read the Bible and then say, "I reject that." That is, I reject, let's say, the miracles of the Bible because they're not rational. Well, that's not rational because miracles are miraculous. So let me ask you, is it reasonable to believe in miracles? And if it's not, what are the implications of that? I'll be right back in just a moment with a very special guest. Now here's a question. Can God be trusted? Either you've asked that question yourself or you know somebody who has, and I've got an answer for you. I'd like you to get today's free offer, Can God Be Trusted? To receive it, call 800-253-3000, write to the address on your screen, or visit us at iiwoffer.com. Can God be trusted? I have an answer for you. 800-253-3000 or visit us at iiwoffer.com. Thanks for joining me today on It Is Written. The Bible says again and again that God worked miracles. Jesus, during his time on earth, worked miracles. His disciples worked miracles. So can you believe in miracles? I would suggest you can, but can people really work miracles? Well, I'm about to introduce to you a very special guest, someone who can do the extraordinary. His name is Todd Bogue, and he is a Florida-based entertainer and magician. Todd, thanks for joining me on It Is Written.
Thank you very much for having me.
I appreciate this. So you work magic, do you?
Yes, I do.
Does that mean you perform miracles?
I do not.
You don't?
I do not.
All right.
Just an entertainer.
An entertainer. All right. But I know you're going to show me something that someone's going to say, how in the world did he do that? So what have you got?
We're going to do two tricks today. Sometimes you go to a magic show and a magician will steal somebody's watch.
Oh, yeah.
Or steal somebody's wallet.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to steal somebody's phone.
Okay.
I'm going to steal somebody's phone. But before that, you're going to do a magic trick.
Oh, I
am. You're going to do a magic trick.
Oh, no joke.
Okay? Yes, yes.
All right.
So we're going to do the old behind the ear. I'm going to reach behind your ear, grab a pretend deck of cards.
Well, look at that.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to hand it to you, John.
Thank you. I want you
to shuffle those cards, please.
All right.
You got to take them out of the pretend box first.
Okay.
Take them out of the box. Lay the box on the table.
Open the thing up. The little flaps.
I like it.
Pull them out. Leave the box here.
Shuffle them up.
Now shuffle them.
Nice.
Put them down. I'm going to cut the deck.
I like it. I want you to pull a random card out.
Okay.
And what is the card you chose?
This is the Seven of Diamonds.
The Seven of Diamonds. Could you show everyone the Seven of Diamonds?
Seven of Diamonds. Look at that.
See? Did you turn the Seven of Diamonds around backwards?
Yeah, there it is right there.
Put it back in the deck?
Just in the deck anywhere?
Mm-hmm. Anywhere in the deck.
In the deck.
Shuffle them up real good.
Shuffle them.
Nice. Put them back in the box.
They're in the box.
Put the lid on.
Lid is on.
So I'll get this empty bag. I want you to drop the deck of cards in the bag. Just like that.
Oh.
Now it was pretend before. Now it's real.
All right.
Now, if you really turned around the Seven of Diamonds, that's going to be pretty cool.
No, I really did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see. So there should be one card turned around backwards. I don't see any cards turned around. There is one card.
There it is.
Turn the only card turned around backwards.
Okay.
Pull it out.
You want me to pull that out?
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
And show.
This one.
Yep.
Oh, get out of here. Oh, really? Look at that. Look at that.
Amazing job.
Wow.
Very good.
The Seven. Oh, okay. There it is.
Good job.
I think I might have a career in this.
So we're going to do something really, really spectacular now. This
okay.
is pretty cool. David Copperfield once did something similar to this where he walked through the Great Wall of China. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
But I'm going to do something similar with objects you are familiar with.
Okay.
Take my driver's license. We're all familiar with a driver's license. It's a hard piece of plastic.
Oh, yeah?
Solid.
That's the real thing.
And a cell phone. Okay? What I did is I took a cell phone case, I put a little slot in my cell phone cover. I'm going to take the driver's license and go right through the cell phone.
Yeah.
You know there's no way a solid can go through a solid.
No, that's right. That's solid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Solid. And earlier I said I was going to steal somebody's phone. I'm going to steal my phone.
Okay.
Turn my cell phone into a solid block of steel that there's no way that a driver's license.
Can I touch
yes,
that?
Yes, please do.
That's pretty amazing.
Thank you very much.
That's pretty impressive.
Fun
that,
stuff.
That happened right in front of my eyes.
Yes, sir.
And I have no idea how you did that. You said a moment ago you're not a miracle worker, but how in the world do you do this if it's not miraculous?
Years of practice.
Anybody ever worry about you? Ever get any feedback where people are concerned about what you're doing?
Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes people think that what I do is evil. My mother, one time we were at her church, and after the service, she asked me to go backstage so her and her pastor could pray for me.
Okay, sure.
And I asked her what was wrong, and she says, "We're worried about you." She says, "You didn't have these powers when you were a kid." And I'm like, "Mom, I don't have powers. I just do fun stuff." And I actually had to show her how a couple tricks were done.
And what'd she say when she saw that?
Well, that's not magic. That's and it's all an illusion. You know, you could explain all of it.
So not miracles.
No.
Just a man who's good at what he does.
I appreciate the compliment.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. Thank you. We both know magicians aren't really magicians. They're illusionists, masters of misdirection, causing you to see what didn't happen and sometimes to miss what really did. Now, there is another kind of magic that people ought to stay well away from. The supernatural occult magic is evil. It's something you want to avoid. It's real. The devil is real. He's a deceiver. And he's still in the business of pulling people over into the realms of darkness. Now, pulling a rabbit out of a hat isn't miraculous. Causing a driver's license to go through a block of steel, it's incredible, but it's not miraculous. You might call it clever. It's entertainment. But we wouldn't say that about anything that crosses the line into the occult. Illusions, party tricks, sawing someone in half, they're illusions. Not magic, not miracles. But what's way beyond clever, what's absolutely jaw-droppingly miraculous, is God's ability to perform miracles. Now, if your faith won't allow you to accept that miracles happen, I'd encourage you to reconsider the size of your God. In a moment, we'll look at some great miracles of the Bible, and I'll share a couple of modern miracle stories with you too. I'll be right back. Hey, can you show me how you did that?
Sure.
The cell phone thing.
Yeah.
So what'd you do? Now, here's a question. Can God be trusted? Either you've asked that question yourself or you know somebody who has, and I've got an answer for you. I'd like you to get today's free offer, Can God Be Trusted? To receive it, call 800-253-3000, write to the address on your screen, or visit us at IIWoffer.com. Can God be trusted? I have an answer for you. 800-253-3000 or visit us at IIWoffer.com. The Bible is filled with stories of flawed human beings God called to serve Him in incredible ways. He took a violent, impulsive, racist fisherman and transformed him into one of Jesus' closest disciples and one of the most influential leaders of the early church. Join me for another episode of our series, Great Characters of the Bible, as we look at the life of Peter. Peter was far from perfect. He was overly confident. He made promises he didn't keep. But his experience is an encouragement to anyone who knows the feeling of messing up as a follower of Jesus, of falling short, and wondering if you'll ever get it right. God stuck with Peter and helped him grow. And if you let Him, He'll do the same for you. Great Characters of the Bible. Peter, brought to you by It Is Written TV. Thanks for joining me on It Is Written. Miracles. There's no doubt they happened in Bible times, but do miracles still happen today? I'll share a couple of miracle stories with you in just a moment. In Bible times? To begin with, God called the universe into existence from out of nothing. That's a big one. Did the Israelites really cross the Red Sea on their way out of Egypt? Well, we know that the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt and that they got out of Egypt and went to the Promised Land. So the facts are, the Exodus really happened. It says in the Bible that the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. Some have said that that wind was simply a natural occurrence, a weather event. Now, I'm not sure what kind of wind you would have that would create an opening in a sea, one that allows thousands and thousands of people to walk through the middle of that sea on dry ground. And what a coincidence that a strong wind happened right as Israel was fleeing Egypt. There really isn't another explanation. The sea was very shallow in a certain place? No, That's absurd. And what you've got here is a fundamental issue. The minute you start deciding that certain portions of the Bible can't be believed, you've set yourself up as the judge of the Bible, and you become the one who decides which parts of the Bible are inspired and which are not. You've chosen to play God. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. Did Jesus turn water into wine, grape juice? The Bible writers were convinced he did. Now, you might think it possible, of course, that the Bible writers were lying about all this. Sure, it's possible, I guess, but thousands of people, eventually millions of people, were prepared to die because they believed what was written in the Gospel of John, where that story is found. Hard to imagine the Bible writers were lying. So what about miracles today? Let me give you a couple of first-hand accounts. Early in 2017, our It Is Written crew was on the beautiful west coast of Ireland at the fabled Cliffs of Moher. Stunning. We were filming for our 500 series about the Reformation. We filmed my parts, and then my two colleagues got some aerial footage with a drone. They flew the drone along the cliffs and then nearly a mile out to sea so they could get some spectacular footage of the beautiful cliffs. There was a strong wind blowing, and as the drone flew into this wind, the guys noticed the battery was draining fast. It started plunging 70%, 58%, 31%. And with this drone, when the battery level drops to 5%, it lands wherever it is. So at 500 feet above the Atlantic and still a third of a mile from land, the battery level of the drone reached 5%. But they prayed, Lord, bring the drone back. Bring back the footage we've shot. Bring back the equipment so we don't have to replace it and we don't lose an afternoon's work. The drone was at 5% and kept flying. 4, 3, 2, 1, zero, no power left in the battery. And the drone kept flying. It eventually got above land. They brought it down. It came in and landed gently on the grass. The drone was saved. The footage wasn't lost. The program was made. No, this isn't someone being raised from the dead. But it was divine intervention nonetheless. There's no other explanation for it. When that drone arrived back, it was out of power. A friend of mine tells an incredible story about his faithful mother. Dad didn't want mother going to church with the kids, and he didn't like them taking the car. One very, very wet day, he decided that he would make sure she couldn't go to church. He removed the distributor cap from the car. The vehicle can't run without that distributor cap. Just impossible. He went off to work, happy that she and the kids wouldn't be going to church. When he came back from work, he was amazed that she was gone and that the car was gone too. He waited for her to return from church. Dad said, "Where have you been?" Mom said, "Church." Dad, agitated, "How'd you get there?" Mom, confused, "I drove the car, of course." Dad, incredulous, "How'd you drive the car to church?" Mom, bewildered, "The same way I always do." She explained, they went and got in the car, turned the key, the car would not start. She said to the kids and the neighbor kids, "Let's pray that God would start the car. There must be a problem." They prayed. She turned the key and it roared to life. But Dad had the distributor cap in his pocket the entire time. God still works miracles. Can we believe the miracles of the Bible? Of course we can. Can we believe God works miracles today? Absolutely. Does He always work miracles when we want Him to? No, not always. And He understands why, and we can trust Him. The greatest miracle of all is the miracle of divine grace. Every person alive is a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. But Jesus died for your sins, to work the miracle of salvation in your life. The Bible tells us again and again that we cannot save ourselves. It's just not possible. But Jesus does for us what it is impossible for us to do for ourselves. If sin is burdening you down, Jesus can save you. If you feel like you're not worthy, Jesus can save you. If you're far from God right now, Jesus can save you. Yes, that's a miracle. Maybe a greater miracle than parting the Red Sea.
But this is the miracle that Jesus came to the earth to perform. Now, this miracle requires your permission. That's all. Just a yes from you. A surrender to God's will. Can you make that decision? If you've made it before, make it again. Tell God you accept salvation, and the God who saves you can uphold you, just like He holds up the sun, moon, and stars. Miracles still happen. That famous commentary from Lake Placid, the broadcaster Al Michaels asked, "Do you believe in miracles?" And then he said, "Yes." Now is your chance to say yes to a true miracle, a great miracle, the greatest of all miracles. Say yes to Jesus now, and His peace and grace will flood your life. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Let's pray together now. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that You are the God of miracles. You called this world into existence from out of nothing. You opened up the Red Sea, carpeted the ground with manna, brought water out of a rock, and today You still work miracles. We see them around us. We have the opportunity every day to experience the miracle of grace. We thank You that You can still call something out of the nothing of a broken life. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of salvation in Jesus. And friend, would you accept that gift now? Would you say to the God of heaven, "I believe in the miracle of salvation. I believe in the miracle of grace. You have my permission. Take my heart and make it yours." Lord God, we make that decision now and believe that we are children of the heavenly King, that eternity awaits us and that You will grow us. Keep us now, dear Lord, we pray, and we thank You for Your great miracle working power in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God."